Have a great week.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I'm going to go push a button up here. Just say hi to your mom. If she's here, just greet your mom or any mom around you or anyone near you that you need to see or look at. Or check out the ceiling or your shoes. I got it. So today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. You guys don't know how to respond to that, do you? Not quite sure how to, not quite sure what to do. I have vivid memories of being 7, 8, and 9. Those 3 years of my life, 7, 8, and 9, I remember vividly Mother's Day morning, my father would run in a rush and wake me up and say, "Tom, go make your mom a card. It's Mother's Day." And he had done nothing. He had done nothing, no preparation, no gifts, no nothing. Now, the strange thing was, my dad was preaching on Mother's Day that Sunday every single year, but he had done nothing for my mother. And so we'd run out, my sister and I, and Anna, and we'd make cards really fast, and, "Mom, I love you." And I'd be like, "Yes, my sister, make me a heart." She made perfect hearts, and she'd make me a heart on my card, and we'd walk in, and we'd grab any items around the house. One year, I gave her old batteries. Like, "Mom," you know, but all those gifts that we didn't think about had like a meaning. "Mom, you energize our lives. Here's old batteries." You know, it was that kind of situation. And she would cry, and she'd be like, "Oh, thank you. She's so great." You know, and it was this thing. Every single year, I remember so vividly. And so really one of the questions for today is, you know, thinking about Mother's Day. What is great about Mother's Day? And here's what I think is great about Mother's Day. We're going to stop everything and acknowledge moms. Isn't that a great thing to do? How many guys are pro-mom in this room? You're pro-mother. You think motherhood is good? Who's anti-mom? Let's just get you on the record right now. Hands up, people, anti-mom. Okay, good. We're going to stop everything and just acknowledge our moms. I feel like maybe I'm a little loud. Do I sound loud to you guys? Or? Yes, I feel that same way, so maybe turn me down a little. Make me talk slower, too. If you could slow me down and turn me down, be great. We get to stop everything and acknowledge moms. I called my mom this morning. My mom, if you don't know, is a missionary, and she's in Africa. And I called my mom this morning, and at one point, just total vulnerability with you guys, at one point, both of us were crying so hard we could not speak. And the message was this: "Mom, I love you." And she said, "I love you too, son." And we're just, tears are falling. And it's just great. It's great to stop everything and acknowledge moms and just how amazing, you know, moms are and how amazing they can be. You know, the bond between mother and child is incredibly strong, almost as strong as father and child. Almost. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding about that. The bond between mother and child is so strong. Listen to three well-known men talking about their mother. Abraham Lincoln says this: "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life." How awesome is that? Abraham Lincoln. George Washington says this: "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw." Sorry, Martha Washington. Anyway, keep going. "I attribute all my success in my life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." And the third influential man, the most important man who ever lived, Jesus Christ. Now picture Jesus. In John 19, Jesus is on the cross and he's dying for our sins. He's nailed to that cross and he's there and there he is. And he looks down from the cross. He knows the life is ebbing from him. And Jesus looks down from the cross and he says this: "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved," John, this is the book of John, right? "So the disciple whom he loved," John, "was standing nearby. And he said to her, 'Woman.'" Now, if you recognize this, in the book of John, Jesus always calls his mom woman. Let's not start that tradition, I think, here, but he does. It's a cultural thing. It's endearing. "Woman," he says, "here is your son. And the disciple, here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus, as he's dying, looks down and takes care of his mother. There's this beautiful, amazing bond between a mother and their child. And let me just say, before I go on and talk more about Mother's Day, let's acknowledge this. Mother's Day can be a difficult day. Let's not ignore that. For some of you in this room, today is a difficult day. I talked to a man last night, prayed with him, as a matter of fact, who lost his mother this week. This week, his mother died. And we prayed last night. He said, "I probably couldn't have come tomorrow. I'm just going to come tonight." And I'm like, "It's not going to be much better." You know, we prayed together for his mom and for him and just for his life. It can be a tough day. You know, if you've lost your mom, it can be a tough day for mothers. If you're a woman who always desired to be a mother and you never had children, Mother's Day can be a very difficult day. If you're a mother who has lost a child, it can be a very difficult day on Mother's Day to look at those things. You know, there are people, I'm going to show you a quick video. There are people who have never known a mother's love. They never knew it. Some of them had a mother in their home, but they never had that bond develop in the right way. Or some people who've never known a mother's love. You know, recently, back over spring break, the end of March, we took a trip to Africa, and we were deeply involved in three orphanages. And one of those orphanages, our church sponsored orphans there, and we had a big moment with them, and we were in the orphanage, and there was one girl who stood up, and she was probably 11 or so years old, and she was so articulate, a young orphan there, and she was so articulate, and she got up in front of the whole group, and she shared her memory verses. So I got her afterwards, and I pulled her over, and I said, hey, why don't you say your verses for me? I want to get them on video. I want to get a video to show in America how great you are at saying these verses. And she smiled so big. Her name is Kimberly, and let me just show you Kimberly. I'm going to tell you a little story about Kimberly, but I got the video, and here's her kind of giving. I'm not going to give you all her verses, but here's Kimberly, and just listen to her. So she gives this verse in Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I remember thinking, videotaping Kimberly, I was thinking, wow, here's this girl talking about her house. But her house is an orphanage, and she lives in this place. And after that video, Kimberly and I, we just kind of bonded. We walked across the street to a new orphanage they're building, and we did a ceremony there. We put a water well in and dedicated that, and we were walking back. Picture this picture. There are about 21 of us from Spring Hills on our team, including my mother, and we're walking back to the orphanage, and as we're walking back, Kimberly walks up, and she grabs my hand, and I'm holding Kimberly's hand, and they all start singing this song. They're singing this song, Hosanna, and we're singing back, and it's this beautiful thing, and we walk back, and actually my daughter, Elizabeth, who's right here, bonded with Kimberly, and Elizabeth and Kimberly bonded, and we had these little books. And the books were full of all these pictures, you know, a family. And Liz had the book to show the different orphans. Here's our family, and here's Ohio, and here's snow, you know, stuff like that. And she actually gave Kimberly, without me knowing it, she gave Kimberly the book of all the photos of our family. And so I actually went back, and I was there just Bobby Tucker and I went back just to do some things with the orphanage 2 days later. And Kimberly walked up to me, and she had the book in her hand, and she pulled me over like this. And I walked over, and she turned to a page with my wife, Tracy. And there's our family. And this is Kimberly, who's never had a mom. And there's Elizabeth in the picture, and I'm in the picture. And she points at my wife, Tracy, and she says, what's she like? What's she like? She'd never known that love. She'd never known what it was like to have a mother, to hold her and comfort her and be there for her. You know, Mother's Day can be a difficult day when you've not known that mother's love or the mother you had wasn't exactly the way that you thought she should be. Or if you're a mom who lost a child or just is in a difficult place in life. Let me just say to all of you today who are struggling on Mother's Day, just anchor yourself in this scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:3, listen to this scripture. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And if you're struggling today on Mother's Day, for whatever reason, maybe even regrets over past things from years long ago, then come to God, and from God receive comfort from Him on this day. You guys with me on this? Make sense what I'm saying? We're going to keep talking about mothers, and I did this thing this week, and I think it's just going to be great for you. I asked a person who I consider to be an amazing woman of God and an amazing mother. Her name is Anita Jones. Hey, she's right there. Give Anita a hand, everybody, if you would. And I asked Anita to sit down, and Anita, just shoot a video. Give some advice for moms, and just tell moms something, because coming from me it might not be as well received as coming from you. So Anita sat down this week, and we made just a brief video, about 2 minutes or so, and we're just going to watch Anita give some advice for mothers on Mother's Day. Here she is. A little more volume, maybe.
Hi, I'm Anita Jones, and I've been involved with Spring Hills since the very beginning. Mike and I were at the very first Bible study at Pastor Jeff and Kathy's home on Mountain Street. And when Pastor Tom asked me about giving advice to moms, what would I want to say, I began to think about things and made a long list of things that parents need to know, you know, demand respect, actions and consequences, discipline, those kind of things. But the more I thought about it and the more I prayed about it, I felt like God was saying to seek Him first, to let your focus be on Him and not on all of these other things, but to go to Him first thing in the morning and to talk with Him each day. I run to Him in the morning when I want to praise Him and thank Him for all of the good things that He's done and how helpful He is to me. And I also run to Him if I have problems or concerns and get His wisdom and His direction for the day. And I would just encourage you to do that as well. We're reminded in the Bible that God's Holy Spirit is always speaking, but sometimes we're just not listening. If we listen, it becomes easier and easier to hear from God. And if we don't listen, it's harder and harder to hear from God. So I would just encourage you to spend time with God and let His Holy Spirit guide you and empower you to be the mom that you want to be. The Bible also teaches us that if we draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. So I just encourage you to do that each day. Stay close to God and stay focused on Him.
Nia, thank you for doing that. That was beautiful. Well done. Give her another hand if you guys don't mind. Just an awesome, awesome hand. So kind of coming into the heart of our message today and these thoughts on Mother's Day is five virtues that I want to examine on Mother's Day. We're doing a series on generations, and we're going to get some generational thoughts coming in a moment or two. But let's begin with this. Five virtues to examine on Mother's Day. If you're taking notes, there's a note sheet, and you can fill in some of these blanks as we go forward. But this passage, we're going to study Colossians 3, 12 through 14 to look at these virtues to examine on Mother's Day. Here's the passage for you. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Now, if you look at this scripture and look over these things, we're going to pull out five virtues to examine here on Mother's Day together. So it begins by saying this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. So the first thing we see is this is for God's chosen people. This passage is for all Christians explaining to us how we should live. It says, God's chosen people. Hey, if you count yourself in that group and you'd say, I know that I've accepted Christ and I know Him, just raise your hand. Just give a little testimony of that. This is for you, for all of you. We'll examine it for mothers, but this is for all Christians. And it says this phrase, it says, clothe yourself. This is kind of an interesting phrase that we see in this passage. You know, this clothe yourself is an idea that really is deeply biblical. And the idea is when you become a Christian, you are clothed in righteousness. You now are representing God. And I'm just gonna give a demonstration of this, that this is just picture for a second. This is that white robe of righteousness. Now, this is actually the shirt my dad used to wear in the baptistry when he'd baptize people. And at one point somebody said, take your dad's old stuff, and they gave it to me. So I'm now the proud owner of this shirt. But just imagine that he says, clothe yourself. He's saying, this is how you should live when you put on this cloak of righteousness and you live in this way. Clothe yourself. Live in this way. Wrap righteousness around yourself and live this way. And here's the first one. He says, five virtues to examine. Here's number one. The first one he says is compassion. Compassion is concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. Now, just think about this idea of compassion as it relates to moms. You know, when I think of moms, I just see moms as such compassionate people. Moms love to take their kids and put Band-Aids and kisses on every little boo-boo. And moms love to be there when you're suffering and have a hard time. And moms have a heart of compassion so often for their children and the world around them. When I was growing up, I had an older sister and I have two younger brothers. My next younger brother is my brother Dan. You might know Dan and Brittany are our preschool directors here at Spring Hills. And I've got another younger brother, 13 years younger than me, and his name is David. And I vividly recall David would be at the house, and he'd be doing whatever and kind of playing and doing his thing. And while he's playing, mom was gone, and he'd fall, and he'd skin his knee, and his knee would be bleeding. And I'd be like, David, are you okay? He's like, I'm fine. I'm tough. I'm fine. And he'd be fine all day. Or maybe Dan punched him or something like that, you know. Are you okay? And he'd be like, I'm fine, I'm fine. For hours, he was fine. And then mom's car would pull up in the driveway and mom would pull in. And mom would get out of her car and David would run to her. Mom, mom, I fell. I hurt my knees. Blubbering, he's crying. And it was like the world had ended, right? For 5 hours, you're totally fine. And then mom shows up and it's the world's over. And she picks him up and she'd bandage his knee and give him a kiss. He'd get in his car, go back and see his wife and, you know, go back to his life and, you know, that kind of thing. But there, you know, there's this thing, you know, this heart of compassion, right? This compassion for your children. And this is an amazing thing, compassion. The second thing that we see is Paul says that we are people of compassion and people of kindness. Kindness is the act of being caring or warm in spirit. Kindness means don't make fun of your brother on Mother's Day, I suppose, would be one application. He probably never hear the sermon. I'm not even going to worry about it. Kindness, right? Kindness. Now I think about this idea of kindness, and the Bible speaks so often of the benefit of kindness. Proverbs 16:24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul, and healthy for the body. I'm going to make an observation about this. I want to see if you agree. When I was growing up, it seemed like there wasn't that much kindness in the world when I was growing up, but it seems like today there's less kindness than ever. Do you believe that? Do you see that? It feels like when you go places and do things and you're out and about, people are less kind than they once were. They even seem a little bit more absorbed with themselves and their activities and what they're doing. And it seems like the world is going in a direction where we're less about extending kindness to strangers and we're more about ourselves and our own lives. There's something happening that I think we should take note of about kindness and simply the act of being caring or warm in spirit. Let me give you a little example about this. You know, Friday this week, I had the amazing privilege. I met here Friday morning with several parents and students from Granville Christian Academy, and they were going on a field trip to the Creation Museum. Who here has been there, by the way? Creation Museum. And there's probably, you know, 75 of us or whatever, fifth and sixth grades, were going down there, parents in cars, and I think we had seven vehicles, and we drove down together. And my assignment for that day, which I'm proud to report to all of you, was I was the chaperone for my daughter Ella, who's 12, and four of her 12-year-old friends. So all day long, for the whole day, I was walking around with five 12-year-old girls and myself. Now, they had chosen to wear the same shirt. Here's a picture, by the way, of those girls. They'd chosen to wear the same shirt, and they were kind of tie-dyed, and they named themselves the Rainbow Unicorns. And so all day, I'm yelling out, Rainbow Unicorns, come back, Rainbow Unicorns, and I'm following with them. And I noticed, now these girls are great, and they were very kind, but I noticed a phenomenon with these five girls. Here's the phenomenon. We would take about 30 steps, and they would stop, and they would say this, group picture. And they get together for a group picture, and they'd be like, Pastor Tom, take the picture. And I got one of their phones, which most of them had phones, and I'd take their picture and then give the phone back, and we'd go 20 more steps, ding, 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 and somebody yell, oh, group picture right here, group picture. We'd stop and get another picture. And by the way, this is the back of my car. That group picture was in the back of my car at lunchtime. And anyway, I also asked them, there was a lot of selfies going on all day long, selfie, selfie, selfie. And when the day ended, I asked them, hey, could you guys estimate how many selfies did you take today? And the one girl said, I'd say about 200. I took about 200 selfies, about 200 pictures of myself, and they would do things like this. Okay, selfie, just me, all of us, duck face, you know, bending down, you know, all these little pictures of themselves, and these were great girls, and they were kind, and they were wonderful. It was a pleasure to be with them, but it felt like to me a little picture of where things are going, that we're a lot more concerned about ourselves and how we look and recording every little moment of our life, and hey, look at my breakfast, everybody, click, here it is. And we're a little less about kindness and expressing love to others. Hey, do you agree with me? Just say amen. Amen. Now, I'm not saying selfies are bad or evil. They're maybe a bit narcissistic, but I'm just saying, you know, there's something a direction that we're going that may not be healthy or may not be good. In fact, the Bible is so clear. Be kind. Don't be harsh. Don't be short with people. Colossians 3:19 says clearly, here's a Mother's Day scripture, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Be kind to your wife. Be kind to your mother. Exhibit kindness in your life. You guys with me on this? Say amen. The third virtue to examine from Colossians 3 is one that I think all of us can all of us connect with this idea. Paul says, be patient. Be patient. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Who here would say, I am perfectly patient in every way? Just raise your hand. Who's got that out there? Who's out there? Somebody was going to scratch their nose and they raised their hand the wrong time. I was like, whoa, we got one. No, nobody. Now, if you're a mom, you know patience can be a very difficult thing. Let me just give you an example of some things moms deal with where they need patience. Here's a quick video of some patient examples for moms. Here we go.
Yeah.
out. This is a rough one, moms. Here you go. Patience, patience, patience. I want to do it myself. Ooh. Ouch. Now, this is a very conscientious young man. Watch what he does next. He gets the lid to his drink so he won't spill it. And he goes right there. I don't know how many moms have actually walked into something like this. Oh, yikes. That's not decorating, by the way. The mom's recording. What's she going to find? What's going to happen? Oh, ouch. Oh, yikes. Patience, moms. Patience. Oh. She said, what did you do? How about this one? Big reaction on that one last night, too. If you listen, you can hear moms talking in the background. I think she had a popsicle earlier, too. Now watch the end. Watch the end. Perfect. Just like that, right? Moms need to have this patience and compassion and kindness with their children. But let me just say, patience. Paul says patience. You know, if you're a mom and you're struggling with patience, hey, who here, just raise your hand. You're out there and you're struggling with patience, just raise your hand. In some area of my life, I'm struggling to be patient. Here's a verse for you. Colossians 1:29 in the ESV. Paul says, for this I toil, struggling, and then he adds it like this, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Let me echo what my friend Anita said. Ask God to come and speak to you and give you the patience that you need in those moments. But not only do moms need patience, sometimes moms ask for us to be patient with them. I found this week this letter. Just listen with your heart open. James Dobson read on Focus on the Family a letter from an 80-year-old woman. On her birthday, she titled it, To All My Children. Hear moms sometimes ask for patience as well. So open your heart and hear this letter from an 80-year-old mom to all of her children. Here's what she said to her kids. I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you that what I truly want are things I can never get enough of, yet they are free. I want the intangibles, is what this mom says. Here's what she says. I would like for you to come and sit with me. And for you to be relaxed. We can talk or we can just be silent. I would just like for us to be together. Just be patient and sit with me, this mom says. Then she says this. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time. I know how tiresome it is to always be repeating, but sometimes I must ask you to repeat. I need your patience when I think too much about the past with my slowness and my set ways. Well, there you have it. Time and patience. Those are priceless gifts that I want. Finally, in his letter, the Apostle Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I know I can too. It's a wonderful feeling to know his eye is on the sparrow and I know he cares for me. I guess being old isn't so bad after all. Love, Mom. Now listen, moms need patience, but moms also deserve patience from all of us as well. Let's keep going in this passage. Colossians 3:13 says this, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. The virtue here is forgiveness. Bear with each other. Maybe you've had a difficult relationship with your mom, or maybe a mom is struggling with one of her children, and it says bear with each other. Give patience and kindness and compassion to each other. Bear with each other and then do this. Number 4 of our 5 virtues. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Offer forgiveness. It's such an incredibly important thing. Forgiveness is defined as this. To give up resentment. To release from the payment of a debt. Now, let me just ask you to examine this idea going a little bit deeper right now and think about on Mother's Day, is there a need for you to offer or to receive forgiveness as it relates to a mother-child relationship? Just think about that. There's so many people that I've sat with and talked with you who had the need to forgive their mother. A mother who wasn't there in all the right ways and who didn't care for them and love them, and mothers who abandoned children and these kinds of things. And maybe you need today to offer forgiveness to your mom for things that happened that you weren't happy with. Or maybe you need to go to your mom and say, Mom, forgive me for some things I've done. I've gone to my mom years ago. and said, "Mom, I said this to you one time, and I did this one time, and the one time I called you from jail, which I definitely did. Forgive me, Mom, for these things I've done," and we've had that moment. But maybe your gift on Mother's Day is to go to your mom and say, "Mom, forgive me for these things that I've done," and restore that relationship in a Christ-like and biblical way. Look what it says. "Forgive as the Lord forgave you." How did Jesus forgive us? He forgave us completely. How many of you guys know someone that verbally says, "I forgive you"? They kind of verbally say it, "I forgive you," but they don't fully offer true forgiveness. The next time they bring it up again and bring it up again, and it's not complete forgiveness. Or "forgive as the Lord forgives" means I sacrificially forgive you. I forgive you sacrificially and completely. Let me just show you for a second something about our generation series that we're in and just briefly comment on these things. I want to talk just really briefly in this section about four truths about generations that definitely directly apply to Mother's Day and this topic. Here's truth number one. The choices of previous generations in your family will affect you. Do you believe that? Raise your hand. You with me on that? We all know it's true, right? The choices my mom made directly impacted my life. And number two is also true. All moms, listen to this. Your choices, moms, will affect the generations that come after you. We see a beautiful picture of this right here, 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well." We see that generational choices, they filter down to the next generation. But listen to number three, the third truth. You can completely, say completely, you can completely overcome the sins, bad habits, and mistakes of previous generations. But this requires prayer, focus, and forgiveness. Let me show you just a little picture. We're studying in the sermon series in Genesis, relationships. And last week I read you this scripture. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years. He was gathered to his people. What a beautiful phrase, but I didn't show you last week. Verse 9. Look at the picture of redemption and forgiveness in the very next verse. Look what it says. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him. Picture this. Ishmael is the son that Abraham threw out of his house with his mom. Threw him out. Abraham threw him out of the house, and he and his mom had a difficult life because of that relationship with Abraham. But when Abraham died, Ishmael came back. Now, Ishmael at one point abused Isaac a little bit and wasn't doing well with Isaac when Isaac was young, and they had a bad relationship. But these two brothers came together in forgiveness and reconciliation. Ishmael forgiving Abraham and extending relationship. And together, those two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Don't you wish their descendants today could do something forgiveness just like this? Isaac and Ishmael together burying their father, Abraham. I read a story this week about forgiveness. It was about a young lady. She was probably 2 or 3 years old, abused by her mom. Her mom would put out cigarettes on her arm. She bore the scars her whole life. Children's services came and they took her away, and she was adopted into a new family. This family was a Christian family, and she grew up and still carried those scars from both on her arms and in her heart from her mom and what had happened earlier, but she grew up. She went to a Christian college, married a handsome young pastor, and they got married, and he said, "I want to be a missionary." She said, "Great," and they went off to the mission field and had a fantastic life together. She came back for a year of furlough. She was around age 51 or 52, and she was back, had 4 children of her own, was enjoying life, and she suddenly got a letter out of the blue from her mom. Hadn't talked to her mom since she was 2 or 3 years old, and her mom found her and wrote her a letter. And the letter, her mom said, "You know, I so regret how I treated you. I so regret what I did to you when you were young, and I still have nightmares about that time, but I want you to know, I found Christ, I accepted Christ, I'm living for him, and I'm asking you to forgive me for what I did in your life." Now you would think she would say, "Wow, that's easy, no problem, I forgive you." But she said immediately what she found in her heart was bitterness and anger for what her mom had done. And she prayed and said, "God, help me forgive. I don't know if I can give." That night she went to sleep and she said she had a dream. In her dream, she was in church, and when she was in church, she walked in, and where the pastor preached in her church, probably wasn't like this, but in her dream, where the pastor would preach, there was her mom. And her mom was standing there, and in the dream, her mom was wearing this white robe. She was wearing this white robe of righteousness, and it was on her mom. And in the dream, she looked down at herself, and she was also wearing a white robe of righteousness. And she said, you know what? If God can forgive me for all I've done, then God has certainly forgiven my mother. And she walked up on that platform in the dream, and she embraced her mom. And the next day, she wrote her mom back a letter that said, Mom, what you've done hurt me. I'm not going to ignore what you've done, but I fully am in the process of forgiving you for all these things. Let me just say one last thing. It is certainly true that forgiveness is a process. It's not immediate. Forgiveness is not like snapping your fingers or turning on a light switch. Forgiveness takes time. Forgiveness is a process that you go through to release what's happened to you. It happens with God's help as you walk through the process of forgiveness. Four things I said about generations. Let me just give you number four. This is a Mother's Day thought for you. You have maximum impact as you allow God to work through you to bless the generation below you and the generation above you. That's where you want to be. Wherever you are in life, to say, I have maximum impact on these generations when I focus on blessing my parents and blessing my children. If your parents are gone, focus on your children. If you have no children, focus on other elements of those generations. But your maximum impact comes as through God, you focus on blessing. I'll say one last thing about living through God. 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might, say it with me, live through him. That's our goal, to live through Christ, to bless the generation above me and to bless the generation below me. That's how you want to live. Let's get back. We'll finish our sermon on the five virtues to examine on Mother's Day. Paul says that this last verse, I love this verse, Colossians 3:14. And over all these virtues of compassion, kindness, patience, forgiveness, gentleness, humbleness, over all these virtues, Paul says, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You can have perfect compassion if you have love. You can have perfect kindness if you have love. You can perfectly offer forgiveness in love. Love binds them all together in perfect unity. And this is number five. Love. Love is number five. Let me just really briefly just answer this question. How do you show love, Pastor Tom? How do I show love to my mom on Mother's Day? Or how do I show love in my life in general? How do I show love? Number one, the idea is this, with your time. If you want to show someone you love them, spend time with them. You agree? Say amen. Time shows I love you. Arrange your schedule in such a way that you can spend time together. There are many of us in this room that wish we could spend time with our mother today. I can't. Many others can't. But if you can, take advantage and spend time with your mother today. Or number two, with your actions. Show the love that you have with your actions, with the actions that are there. Don't give your mom old batteries and say, Mom, you're so energetic, right? With your actions, show love to your mom. Although she probably still has those batteries. If I know my mom, she probably wrote a scripture on there. You know, I can do all things through Christ who energizes me. I don't know what she did, but probably something like that. With your time, with your actions, and last of all, with your words. I also came across in my sermon prep for Mother's Day sermons. Oh, by the way, if you didn't know this, Mother's Day sermons typically say how great moms are and how bad dads are. Usually that's a kind of a typical, you know, thing out there. Found that in a lot of those. But here's one story I came across about showing love with your words. Here's the last thing I'll say about love, about point number five. Here it is. This appeared in a newspaper, in an article to Dear Abby. Now, if you don't know, a newspaper is what we used to have that contained the news, right? If you didn't know that. Here's what this man says. After more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. Although we agreed that our ashes would be scattered over the mountains, I found I could not part with hers. While Mary was alive, she would frequently say, "You don't know how much I love you." And I'd reply, "Likewise." I never said, "I love you." Now her ashes are on my dresser, where I tell her several times a day how much I love her, but it's too late. I just could not bring myself to say the three words I knew she wanted to hear most. As my dearest was dying and we thought she was comatose, I told her, "There aren't enough words to tell you how much I love you." A few hours later, she whispered, "Not enough words," and she died. The reason I'm writing is to urge men to express their feelings while their loved ones are alive. And let me tell you, all the men in this room, if you hold back your emotions, if you struggle to say how you feel, get over it. Tell your mom, tell your wife, tell your children, I love you. Humble yourself to say, I love you. Express to those around you how you truly, truly feel about them in this life. Let me wrap this all up by saying this. 5 virtues to examine on Mother's Day. Compassion, kindness, patience, forgiveness, and love. We're going to end out our service today, and we're going to just do 2 last things. We're going to take a moment. We're not going to do a final worship song. We're going to watch a video. Get a tissue before the video begins, my friends. I was blubbering last night. But anyway, this video just gives an expression of Mother's Day love, and we're going to watch this brief video. When the video ends, I'm going to walk up and invite all the men in this room, all the men, all the boys, to walk up and get a flower. Now, if your mom is in the room or another woman is here with you, your wife, your mother, get a flower for her. Give her that carnation. You know, carnations are the traditional flower of Mother's Day. Men in the old days would wear the carnation in their lapel to celebrate their moms. But come get a carnation. We want every woman in this room to receive a carnation today. So I'm commissioning all the men here to come get a flower and bless all the moms and all the women in this room. But sit back right now, relax, lower the lights a little bit, and here's the video.
Here's to you, you were pink or blue, and everything I wanted. Here's to you, never sleeping through, from midnight till the morning. Had to crawl before you walked, before you ran, before I knew it. You were trying to free your fingers from my hand, 'cause you could do it on your own. Stay here a minute more. I know you wanna walk through the door, but it's all too fast. Let's make it last a little while. I pointed to the sky, and now you wanna fly. I am your biggest fan. I hope you know I am. But do you think you can sell? Slow down. Here's to you, every missing tooth, every bedtime story. Here's to Barbie cars, lightsaber wars, sleeping in on Sunday. Had to crawl before you walked, before you ran, before I knew it. You were teaching me the only thing love can. Hold hands through it when it's scary. You've got me. Let's slow down. Won't you stay here a minute more? I know you wanna walk through the door, but it's all too fast. Let's make it last a little while. Pointed to the sky, and now you wanna fly. I am your biggest fan. I hope you know I am. But do you think you can somehow slow down? Please don't roll your eyes at
You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome. Father, we thank you for this day, this Mother's Day. We thank you, God, for the gift of moms, for the bond between a mother and her child. For that love, God, that we feel and see and know. God, let us today honor our mothers. We praise you, God. We thank you. We can live with kindness, compassion, patience, forgiveness, God, and most of all, love, which binds them all together, love that we find in you, Father God, and see in the picture of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you gave your Son. This is love, that you gave your Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins, that we might live through you. Father, we thank you for that promise. In your name we pray, and all say, amen. So all the men here, stand up, walk up, get a flower. I want every lady here to be honored today in this time.